you'll please grab your Bibles and remain standing with me this morning as we turn in our Bibles to the book of Titus. The book of Titus this morning, we're going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm just going to start this morning in this book, and we've entitled this book, Order in the Church, Order in the Church. Now, the very fact that it's entitled Order in the Church would lead us to believe there was obviously some disorder in the church. And so we have this book of Titus, this short little book. It's only three chapters. I mean, some of our Bibles, if you have both pages open, you got the whole book in front of you. So it's not a very long book at all, but it is a great book. So we're going to look at the first four verses this morning, and we've entitled it Standing for the Truth. We're going to look at the introduction this morning and the author and who he's writing to. So we pick it up now in Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. And what a precious time this is. There's brothers and sisters throughout the world that would long to be here this morning, to be able to attend a public service, to be able to proclaim, I'm going to church, I'm going to hear the Bible being taught, I'm going to lift my hands, I'm going to sing, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship God publicly. So Lord, we are a privileged people this morning. So I pray that we would utilize this time that you've given to us this morning to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Let our minds not wander this morning, but let us stay focused this morning on this passage before us. Let us learn the basics about these opening verses, so that we're prepared to study the rest of the book. I pray for those here that don't know Jesus. I pray that through this passage this morning, they would come to know you as the way, the truth, and the life. I pray for any that have distanced themselves from the Lord today, trying to convince God about their will, that let them realize they can't really be a successful servant of God until they make God's will their will. And I pray for that this morning. So we pray that you'd speak to us. Let us see this as the worship service. We pray for the surrounding churches, the same thing, Lord, that they would teach the word this morning. Not out of the word, but the word itself. They would convey the meaning of the passage that they're going to teach. We pray for the missions that this congregation supports. I think of Pastor Hallelujah there in India, and Pastor Jacob, and Pastor Paul. We thank you for these men that so selflessly give of themselves for the gospel. Be with them, their marriages, their families, the other ministers, the other church leaders. Be with them on this Lord's Day. Bless the word as it goes forth. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Dan. We thank you for the Ventura family in Tecate and Reuben in Virginia and Landers. And you turn for Christ. We think of the Gideons, God's chosen people. It goes on and on. We thank you for all of these faithful ministries, Lord, in their proclamation of the truth. We thank you for their willingness to share the truth. We pray for this wonderful nation of ours, Lord. We love America. We so are so appreciative of allowing us to be in this country and to be part of what this nation's all about. And we pray for our president, Lord, and his wife and his daughters, that you'd bring them to salvation. They are just so lost. They are just so aimless in what they're doing. And I pray that they would come to know Jesus, that they would come to know you as the way, the truth, and the life. I pray for Congress and the Senate, the same thing. These men and women would follow you. I pray for our governor, Jerry Brown. Pray for his salvation. And even the local cities that are represented here this morning. We've got people in council and people in authority that are just so arrogant, Lord, and that they don't even want prayer. I pray for them this morning. They need you so desperately. And so I pray that you would guide them. I thank you for those in public safety this morning, for the officers and the firefighters and those that are protecting us. We thank you for those in the armed forces this morning. We thank you for their faithfulness of risking their lives for us. Bless their marriages and their families. So we pray now that you would speak to us, Lord. Speak deeply to us as we look at this profound book that is before us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, history has its Titus, and the church also has its Titus, too. I was reading in John Phillips' commentary, Exploring the Pastoral Epistles, and in his introduction, John Phillips gives this rather striking contrast between the Titus of Rome and the Christian's Titus. It says, "So the world had its Titus, but the church had a Titus too. The world's Titus found his way into history books. The church's Titus found his way into the book of books. Doubtless it was a high honor to have one's name written in the roster of Caesar's, but it is a far greater honor to have one's name written in the Lamb's book of life and in the Word of God. The Roman Titus had his hour of glory. The triumphal arch built in his honor survives to this day, but he is dead and gone. No one studies his history today, hoping to learn lessons on how to live. On the other hand, the biblical Titus will have a triumph in a day to come. Today, people the world over study Paul's brief memo to him. They weigh every word, search out its significance. Titus the Roman will stand at the great white throne to answer for his deeds. Titus the Christian will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to hear the Lord's words, well done. He will shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever." And what a contrast there is between the historical Titus and the biblical Titus that we're about to study this morning. Just a couple thoughts here. First of all, the book that we're about to study is called a pastoral epistle. Pastoral epistle. There actually are three pastoral epistles. There's 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then there is Titus, and so all three of these make up what is commonly called the pastoral epistles. We studied some time back, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And as we studied 1st Timothy, we became very much aware that the theme that runs through 1st and 2nd Timothy is the thought of sound doctrine. Over and over and over again, he emphasizes doctrine, the truth. But it's a very personal book because Paul wanted this truth to be within Timothy. Timothy was really no good in emphasizing truth if truth really wasn't in him. So really the emphasis really on 1st and 2nd Timothy is sound doctrine. But we come now to Titus, and the theme is sound behavior. So we have sound doctrine in Timothy, and we have sound behavior.